Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hey, welcome back to the channel, everybody. And if you're new here, subscribe and click on that bell with the two little line thingies on there. That way you don't miss another video. We got a horrifying deep woods story tonight about this woman's sister that goes missing. Mom's diagnosed with cancer and all kinds of shit breaks loose, right? Stay tuned. Now let's get spooky. A forest entity took my sister, and it's still watching me. This happened about 8 years ago. I still think about it almost daily, and even after all the therapy, I don't think I'll ever really forget it. Not completely. So, about 10 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, adrenal carcinoma. At first, it didn't seem too bad. You know, we thought it would be a few weeks of chemo, and then she'd be back on her feet. But that's not how it went. It was aggressive. It spread fast. She got really sick, really quickly. I think about a year and a half into her fight, the doctors sat us down and basically told us there wasn't much else they could do. There were some experimental treatments, sure, but they made it clear. She probably had about a year left. So, we did what anyone would do. We grieved. We sat down as a family, trying to process it. Asked whatever higher power was listening why this was happening. But after that, we just tried to move forward. We made the choice to focus on the time she had left, and made it as peaceful and beautiful as we could. Her one wish, this woman who loved animals and trees and always volunteered with the National Forest whenever she could, was to spend the end of her life in nature. Somewhere quiet. Somewhere green. So we left the suburbs behind. I was fine with it. My little brother, Damien, was too. But the only one who really had a hard time was my older sister, Kelsey. Which honestly makes sense. She was about to start her senior year, and now she'd have to move to some random town and finish school with strangers, leave behind all her friends, miss all the senior stuff she had been looking forward to. She tried to act like it didn't bother her, like she was cool with it because it was for Mom. And I know she wanted to be supportive. But I could tell. It still hurt her, just a little. I remember walking past her room during our last few days of packing. Her door was cracked open, and I could hear her on a Skype call with one of her friends. She was crying. She kept saying she didn't want our mom to die, that she didn't want to leave anyone behind, that she didn't want to be somewhere where she didn't want to be. She was trying so hard to be supportive, to be excited for Mom getting to live out her dream. But at the same time, she felt like her dreams were falling apart. And she felt selfish for even thinking that. I hated that. Me and Kelsey didn't have that picture-perfect sister relationship you see in TV shows or whatever. We argued. A lot. like teenager girls do. But I loved her so much, even if I didn't always say it. One of the only things that kept my mind off everything with Kelsey was watching my mom get sicker. Even with her staying positive, always trying to see the brighter side of things, you could just look at her and tell. She felt awful. I'd catch her sitting at the kitchen table, coughing, wincing in pain when she thought no one was watching. But the second me or anyone walked up to her, she flashed that smile. That same happy-go-lucky attitude she always had, like everything was okay. It wasn't. Eventually, the day came. We packed up the house for real, loaded up the U-Haul, said goodbye to everything that used to feel familiar, and we made the hour drive to this tiny town tucked in the woods. Trees everywhere. Fog hanging low like it didn't want to leave. The moment we arrived, it felt different. The town was silent. It wasn't what I was used to. I grew up with the loud buzz of suburban streets, cars honking, kids yelling, sirens somewhere in the distance. That constant hum of life. And now? Nothing. Just stillness. It felt like a completely different world. We passed a few houses on the way in, but not many. I counted 3 during a 20-minute drive. Eventually, we pulled up to our new place. It was a small, dark brown cabin tucked into the trees. The backyard was open but surrounded by forest, like the woods were waiting for us to step too far. There were old garden beds from the previous owners, half sunken into the ground and overgrown with weeds. The whole place looked aged, worn down, but in a weirdly perfect way. Like it belonged there. Like it had always been there. We unloaded everything and started moving into the house. Mom couldn't really help. She wanted to. God, she wanted to. But her body just wouldn't keep up anymore. She ended up sitting on one of the old rocking chairs on the front deck, watching us go back and forth. Every time she tried to lift something over 5 pounds, which honestly was most of her stuff, she'd get dizzy, like she was about to collapse. I could see how guilty she felt about it, but I told her not to. She didn't need to lift a single thing. I remember going to check out my room once the basics were inside. It was a little smaller than my sister Kelsey's, but I didn't mind. It was perfect for me. Perfect for my bookshelves. Perfect for someone like me, a book nerd through and through, to sit for hours curled up, reading in silence. After everything was done and unpacked, Mom took a nap on the couch. Dad was outside cleaning up the yard. Damien was on the floor with his wrestling figures, and Kelsey had gone to her room. I wanted to go check on her, but she was already fast asleep. This was a huge change for all of us, and given everything that was going on, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. It didn't feel perfect, but I was sure we'd make it work, somehow. A few weeks went by, and the one thing that really stood out to me was just how secluded everything felt. The people in town weren't exactly mean, but they definitely weren't friendly either. No smiles, no small talk. They kept to themselves. And at night? The whole place felt dead. Not one car on the road, Not a single porch light on. It was like the town just shut down after dark. Nothing really happened for a while. At least, nothing out of the ordinary. Then, about 3 weeks in, a week before school started, things started to shift. We had a hell of a time getting registered.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The closest school was 30 minutes away, and because we lived so far out, the bus didn't come near us. So we had to make it work. Dad ended up dropping us off every morning, 30 minutes early, and showing up late to work because of it. That Friday night, I remember hearing Kelsey and Mom arguing. It wasn't like yelling through the house or anything, but I could hear them through the walls. Kelsey was upset, like really upset. She was talking about how she didn't know anyone at the new school, how her senior year was completely ruined. And honestly, I don't blame her. She had been bottling it up for weeks, trying to be supportive, trying to pretend everything was fine. But it finally got to her. She exploded. She just needed to scream. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I heard Mom crying too. She kept apologizing, saying she just wanted to enjoy what was left of her life, that she didn't want to die. And I think Kelsey took that the wrong way. Like Mom was guilt-tripping her or something. Like she was trying to gaslight her into feeling bad. It was almost 10 p.m. when Kelsey stormed out of the house. My 17-year-old sister just walked right out into the night. No phone, no jacket, just gone. Mom didn't chase after her. I don't think she had the strength to. I remember looking out my bedroom window and seeing her walking down the dark pavement, disappearing into the night. I wanted to go after her. I really did. But I was scared. Not in the dark or anything like that. I was scared she'd explode on me too. She was already holding on by a thread. We woke up the next morning and Kelsey still hadn't come back. Dad tried to downplay it, said it was possible that she just was camping out there somewhere, that she had a habit of shutting down and needing space when she was upset. But this wasn't like her. 13 hours, no phone, no food, no jacket, in a town she didn't know, with no one she trusted? Mom was sitting at the kitchen table, eyes red and swollen from crying all night. Damien was watching cartoons like everything was normal. He turned to me and asked, in his soft little voice, "Where's Kelsey?" I told him that she just needed some time to herself and that she was okay. We agreed to wait until noon. Maybe she just needed a long walk to clear her head. Maybe she'd come back on her own. But she didn't. And that's when the panic really set in. Fast. Like a sudden drop in your stomach you can't come back from. Part of me was angry. No, furious. We should have called the police the second she walked out the door. Not wait over 15 hours, hoping she'd just wander back in. She's a teenage girl, in a town we barely knew. Anything could have happened. And the people here? They're so distant. So closed off. We didn't even know who they were. No one waves. No one talks. So how the hell are we supposed to find help in a place where everyone keeps their doors and their mouths shut? My dad finally called the police. They said someone would be arriving shortly. Shortly ended up being 4 long, agonizing hours. When they finally did pull up, it wasn't in a squad car. No sirens, no lights, just a plain white Ford pickup truck. The man who stepped out wasn't in a standard uniform either. No blues, no name tag, nothing official looking. Just a black jacket, black pants, and a badge sewn onto his shoulder. He didn't look like any cop I've ever seen. I stayed inside while my parents talked to the officer out on the porch. I kept Damien distracted, tried to act like everything was fine. Like we weren't living through a nightmare. After what felt like another 4 hours, they finally came back inside. My dad was holding a single sheet of paper. I asked if everything was okay. He said the officer took Kelsey's description, asked a few basic questions, wrote everything down. Then he told them something that didn't sit right with me. They wouldn't be doing any searching tonight. Apparently, they didn't go out after dark. Said they'd come back in the morning, and that it wasn't worth calling again until daylight, because no one would respond. My dad was furious. He slammed the paper down on the kitchen table and stormed off to the bathroom, slamming the door behind him. My mom just sat there, completely defeated. She didn't say a word. I didn't know how much longer I could keep pretending everything was okay. Eventually, I sat down next to Damien and told him the truth. I told him that Kelsey was lost, and that we were going to have to try to find her. To this day, I still wonder if that was the right decision. Maybe I should have shielded him longer, but deep down, I felt like he deserved to know. That was his sister, too. As the days passed with still no sign of Kelsey, my parents started doing everything they could. They made flyers, posted in Facebook groups, reached out to anyone who might have seen her. But there was no help. Not from the people around us. The only responses we got were sympathy messages from people back home. My dad had listed his number on the flyers, hoping someone, anyone, might know something. One night, he got a text from an unknown number. It just said, "I'm sorry she's gone. It just doesn't care. Stay inside at night." I watched him pace back and forth in the kitchen, gripping his phone like he wanted to throw it. He kept saying he was going to respond, said he wanted to cuss them out, demand answers. But after a few minutes, he just sighed, deleted the message, and blocked the number. More weeks went by, and at some point we had to assume the worst. We even started calling people back home, hoping maybe Kelsey had made her way there. She had been so upset about leaving, maybe she tried to go back on her own. But no one had seen her. Not a single person. Dad threw himself into work. Overtime every day, barely any sleep. I think he was using it as a way to cope, or avoid coping at all. Just stay busy and keep moving. Mom's health got worse. Fast. Depression will do that to you. I saw it firsthand. I was in my sophomore year of high school, but I had to switch to homeschooling. So did Damien. The constant 30-minute drive to school just wasn't manageable anymore. And Mom needed someone home with her while Dad was gone. She could barely walk at that point. We had to get a wheelchair and a walker. And I sat there, day after day, watching everything fall apart around me. Piece by piece. None of us ever went outside at night. Dad always got home just before dawn. Mom never left the house. Damien was too scared. And me? I didn't care anymore.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I stayed in my room most of the time, reading to distract myself from thinking. When I wasn't reading, I was drawing, sketching things for Kelsey. Little pieces of art I never got to show her, because I missed her. Still do. More than I can even explain. About a week or two later, I had just finished giving Mom her bath. She couldn't do it on her own anymore. I helped her to bed, tucked her in, and turned on the TV, hoping maybe some background noise would make things feel more normal again, even just a little. Around 11 a.m., I stepped outside. The sun was out, but everything still felt gray. I looked over at the old garden pots. Mom had been so excited about planting things in them, right before Kelsey disappeared. After that, she just let them go. Seeing them now, dead plants, dry soil, weeds climbing through the cracks, it was depressing. But something about it made me feel something, like a little flicker of hope. So I grabbed some gloves and started pulling the weeds, digging through the brittle dirt, replanting whatever seeds we had left. Something nice. That's all I wanted. We needed something nice. Because nice had been gone for a long, long time. When I was out there digging in the garden, I noticed an older woman walking slowly down the road. She was wearing this old, tattered dress that swayed around her ankles, worn out like it had seen decades of use. I looked up and gave her a polite smile. Even though I had never felt anything remotely friendly from the people around here, I couldn't bring myself to be rude. To my surprise, she waved back. That was different. She glanced over at me, her expression soft but tired. Then she said something that made my stomach twist. That she was so sorry about my sister. She began to talk about an entity being in the woods that hunts at night. Before I could even respond, she added that it didn't discriminate. It will feast on who it can find. My smile disappeared immediately. I stepped closer to her, cautiously, asking her what she was talking about, and if she was trying to play a sick joke on me. She shook her head. Her necklaces jingled softly, strands of crystals, tiny cloth pouches of herbs, polished rocks. She said that she wasn't joking, and that she wished everything that was happening was just a joke. Then she pointed down the right side of the road, towards a house tucked into the far corner, and told me that was her place. She said I was welcome to come by any time, for tea, or just to talk about things. I didn't want to. She gave me this unusual feeling, like danger dressed up as kindness. I told her no and apologized for being blunt, then turned and walked back to the house, still holding the gardening tools in my hands. I didn't know what to say or do after that. I tried to brush it off. People are weird, right? Especially around here. That night, I sat down with my dad and told him about the woman, about what she said, about how strange it all felt. He scoffed, barely looked at me. My dad then made an insensitive comment about me being dumb enough to approach a stranger. It was cold coming from him. He's usually someone so upbeat, he would never speak to one of his kids like that. Honestly, he wasn't the same anymore. His whole personality had shifted over the past few weeks. Like everything inside him had gone flat. He didn't care about anyone or anything. Then he got up and left. That was it. It hurt. It hurt more than I expected. Even after everything, when my dad asked me to go to the store with him, I said yes. I guess I still wanted to feel like we were doing normal things, like we were still a normal family. We pulled out of the driveway, turned right, and drove past the old woman's house. That's when I really noticed. There were vines growing wild around the porch, and all sorts of symbols hanging from the railings. Some carved into the wood, others painted on scraps of cloth. The pathway to her front door was lined with rocks, all different shapes and sizes, arranged in strange patterns. It wasn't just a home. It was a spiritual barrier. Now, I'm not one to judge someone for their beliefs. People could find peace in all kinds of things. But this? It almost looked comical at first. Like she had gone way overboard. Like she was trying to keep something out. Or maybe trying to convince herself that she could. I wish I had the words for it. For how it felt. But I don't. There was no way to explain it. Not properly. It was just off. Everything. The flyers for Kelsey were collecting dust. No one had touched them in weeks. The police stopped caring. After 2 months, they officially called off the case. Some people suggested we hold a funeral just to lay her memory to rest. But none of us could bring ourselves to do it. We weren't ready to say goodbye. Not like that. Days started to blur together. I stopped caring about my schoolwork. Damien turned 6. I was the only one with enough energy to celebrate. I made him a homemade cake, lopsided and uneven, but he smiled anyways. We sat at the table, just the two of us, eating it quietly. Then he looked up to me, his little face crumpling, and started to cry. He leaned in and told me with tears that he missed Kelsey. And seeing that broke me. I hugged him close and said the only thing that I could. That we all do. Mom had to be officially placed on hospice. She couldn't move, couldn't eat or drink. She was barely there. Most of the time, she didn't speak at all. And when she did, it was barely a whisper. Almost every time, it was the same thing. She'd try to say Kelsey's name. A mumbled Kells or something. But that was all she could manage. And when she could form full words, they were full of guilt. She'd cry and call herself selfish. Said she didn't think enough about us, about her kids. Said this was all her fault. I'd sit by her side and hold her hand. I'd tell her she wasn't selfish. She never was. She was just a mom who wanted to go someplace quiet, someplace peaceful. None of this was her fault. She was expected to pass within the next 3 days. A few family members, my aunt and a couple of cousins, made the trip out to be with us. Everyone gathered in the living room. There were tears, laughter, stories, just raw emotion everywhere. I needed to step out. Even if it was 11 p.m., I didn't care. I needed air. I stepped onto the back porch and sat down on the steps, trying to breathe. Everything was too much.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
My sister was still missing. My mom was actively dying. My dad was so distant, he may as well have disappeared too. It felt like everything in me was going to explode. I wanted to scream. I wanted to throw up. I just sat there, trying to calm down, trying to stop my chest from tightening. The night air felt warmer than it should have. Heavy, still. And that's when it started. Something rattled in the woods. I couldn't see much. Our backyard was open, but past the grass, the trees swallowed everything. Just pitch black. But I felt it. Something was watching me. I stood up slowly, heart starting to race. Every nerve in my body was on edge. The old woman's words echoed in my head. If you're out at night, you're gone. Then I heard it. Haley, help me, please. My body locked up. It was Kelsey's voice. But it wasn't. It was wrong. The way it sounded, distorted, like it was coming from a broken radio. Too flat, too crackly, like something was trying to mimic her and failing. I didn't say anything. I just took a slow step backward.
Help me, please.
The same line again. And then I heard something that made my stomach twist and my body seize up. Screaming. My sister's voice. Screaming in pain.
Please let me go. Mom, please, it hurts.
The sound of her crying, begging. The wet rip of skin. Something slick hitting the ground, like flesh against leaves. I couldn't take it. I dropped to my knees and threw up right there on the porch. Then silence. Complete, suffocating silence. I was still shaking, wiping my mouth with my sleeve when I heard it again.
Haley, come join me. I'm waiting for you, Haley.
The voice was no longer just distorted. It was evil, twisted, mocking. I ran. I bolted inside, slamming the door, and barely made it to the bathroom before I threw up again. I was hyperventilating, shaking so bad I couldn't even stand. Full-blown panic attack. My cousin came to check on me, knocking gently on the door, asking if I was okay. I couldn't answer. I couldn't even form words. A week has passed since my mom died. We went back to our hometown for the funeral. We buried her near her parents, in the cemetery she always wanted to rest in. After the service, my dad pulled me aside. He told me we were moving back. Said he couldn't stand being in that house anymore. That it felt haunted by the loss of Kelsey, by Mom, by everything we had gone through there. He told me he felt like he was losing himself. I almost cried for relief. I wanted to go. God, I wanted to get out of there. That whole week, I barely slept. I kept having nightmares. Kelsey being chased, ripped apart, screaming for help. I don't know if that's what happened to her, but it felt real. Too real. We left the same night. The air back at the cabin was cold, sharp, and heavy. The birds weren't singing, barely making any sound at all. The only thing I could hear was the wind through the trees, brushing against the house like it wanted in. We didn't say much while packing. What could we say? My dad had lost his wife and daughter. My brother had lost his mom and sister. And me? I lost them too. But I also felt something else. That thing. The one that spoke to me. I felt it watching me. Every night after that encounter, I could feel it at my window. I'd see its silhouette sometimes. Large, unmoving, deep in the woods. Maybe I was going crazy. Maybe grief does that to you. But still, we packed everything and left before sunset. My nerves were on fire. I couldn't shake the fear that we wouldn't make it out before dark. And just as we were driving out of town, it happened. The most horrific, blood-curdling hallucination, at least. I pray that's what it was. I looked out the window towards the trees, and I saw her. Kelsey. Her clothes were torn, ragged. Blood soaked through the fabric, staining her skin so deeply it turned red underneath. Her hair was matted with leaves and something wet. Something that looked like flesh. She had no jaw. And she was staring at us. Just watching the car leave. Her eyes didn't blink. Didn't move. They were hollow. Haunted. My stomach turned violently. I felt bile rise up in my throat. I couldn't breathe. I started screaming, loud, panicked, gut-deep screams. My dad was shouting, trying to calm me down, asking what was wrong. But I couldn't answer. I just screamed and screamed and screamed. We ended up staying at my aunt's house, just until my dad could afford to get us our own place. We hadn't even thought that far ahead when we left. We just left. Survival mode. I had to go to therapy. I developed extreme night terrors. Couldn't sleep. Couldn't eat. There were nights I felt like I was unraveling completely. So yeah, That was fun. Eventually, though, with therapy, time, and with the help of some antipsychotics, I started to feel human again. I made it. I graduated high school, went to college, and now I have a kid of my own. He's 8 months old. His name is Kelson. It's about as close as I could get to Kelsey without it sounding like a girl's name. I don't know if anyone else there has ever experienced something like this. And honestly, I hope you haven't. All I can say is, it's not something you want to try and figure out on your own. I'm not going to name the towns. I'm not going to tell you where this happened, because I don't want it happening to anyone else. So I'm hiding this for your safety. But sometimes I wonder, does anybody else believe in, like, a folkloric entity? I don't know. I really don't.